Welcome to the Northview Asks podcast, where we discuss the sticky questions that you, our church family, are asking.
Life is messy, and sometimes there are no easy answers, but we hope our conversations will help provide biblical and practical direction, always with the warmth of the gospel.
Hi, everyone. Welcome here. My name is Thalia. I'm one of the pastors on staff. I am joined by my co-host, Joshua.
Yeah, great to be here.
Yes, also a pastor on staff. And our silent producer, Levi, in the corner.
Hello.
not so silent, okay. Apparently.
Supposedly he doesn't want to participate today, so people won't hear from him. And we have a guest named Rocky that I'm going to introduce a little bit more in a moment. But say hi to everyone, Rocky.
Hello, everyone.
The question we're asking today is, how do I use my gifts and skills to serve the church? We have so many unique people that attend Northview in all of our campuses, every single one valuable, every single one needed in some way. And so we just want to introduce one person, Rocky, who has been serving the church in a couple of unique ways. So Rocky and I have known each other for quite a few years, off and on, here and there. We've been working together. You have come to our pre-marriage classes and talked a little bit about your financial background and helped our group with that. You have been working in marriage mentoring and Family Life Canada and all kinds of things that we're going to dive into a little bit more. But first, we probably should get to know you a little bit, Rocky. So Okay. We're going to get you to introduce yourself in terms of like who you are, kind of like what your life looks like outside of the church, and then talk about how did you become a Christian? What does that look like for you? So we'll get you going. Joshua and I will pitch in and we'll pepper you with questions here and there.
Okay. So my name's Rocky Simpson. My wife's name is Salem Gaber Hewitt. She is from Ethiopia.
Wow.
And we have five children, none biologically together, but they're all our children. Mm-hmm. And she's got three and I've got two girls. She has a girl and two boys. And my wife's a healthcare worker.
Okay.
So we've seen a lot about COVID stuff from there and understand those stresses. And we've been together now for 17 years, married for 10 this August.
Okay. Wow. And you attend the Mission Campus.
That is correct. We're members of the Mission Campus.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us a little bit. So you've been married for 10, but you've been together for 17. So there's some story there. There's some muck.
Oh, yes. We all have the muck. Yeah. Yes.
Come on, Rocky. You got to tell us the muck.
Well, I've been thinking about this before coming on the show, obviously, and you can't get it out of your mind because it's your own muck, right? But if you go back about 17 years ago, my then wife and my two were sitting in the living room and we're going through our talk of separation and divorce. Mm-hmm. And I remember telling myself, Rocky, this is the right thing to do. The kids don't have to listen to us argue anymore. It's the right way to go. And after all, I had porn addiction. I was in a lying state to my wife. I was not faithful. You name it, I was doing it. And I had a failed marriage from before. So I honestly felt like a complete loser. Mm-hmm. And I had no choice but to bail. But it was a selfish bail because it was for me and not for my family. And I said, they'll be better off without me, right?
I don't think you were a Christian at this point, right?
No, I was not. I hadn't been a Christian since I left home at age 20. So it was a long time without the Lord. Before I was leaving, I was sleeping in the living room at that time and I was packing up my stuff to leave.
Yeah.
And my youngest daughter, she came and grabbed me and wouldn't let go and says, "Don't go, Daddy." And I said, "Oh, it's okay." I took her off, put her down, "I'll see you again."
Yeah.
Like as if I just finished a business meeting. And that moment has haunted me for years. Mm-hmm. And think she was 6 years old and her sister sitting there watching was 10.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That was decimating. So that's what life was like without Jesus. Mm. And can I tell you a bit what my heart was like?
Yeah. I think this is important, Rocky, because a lot of people who come to Northview, they set foot in the church and they look at everyone and they think, oh, they're all Christians. They've been Christians since birth. Their lives are sparkly, shiny, and they have no muck. And so I don't think I fit here. Yeah, right. And all they need to do is listen to some stories, which is really important that we tell some of our stories about what we were like before we were Christians or even while we were Christians. Like we are not without muck. So your story is really important.
Yeah.
Well, I want to give you an idea of where I was at the time that I was in my sin. I really had a secular view of marriage. And to give you an idea, and I don't want to throw any particular company under the wheels of a bus or something, but you know, we all watch those movies, the movies where the two people meet, they argue, and then they realize they have a destiny together, and then everything all fits right under the stars, and we're going to be married, and that's it, right? But the reality is not like that, right? And each one, if you watch it carefully, are only concerned about what they want, right? Which we know that's not a good way to go. So that's what I've always looked for. I always look for what I wanted in a marriage, what I wanted, my kids, what I wanted, what I wanted to do. Everything was about me. And I didn't even know that, that I was doing that. And I had a softer side. I always wanted to give people the opportunity to be better. But I always did that with a selfish perspective because if they did better, look what I did.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You see? So that wasn't the right way to go either.
Right.
So how do you do all that? Well, then my wife comes along, now wife, Salem, who is a prayer warrior. After 8 years of dating, decided that, by the way, you have to be a Christian or we're not getting married.
Oh.
Really? Yeah. Okay, no challenge there.
Was she already a Christian?
Yes.
Okay.
She was a follower. And
Did you know that right at the beginning when you started dating?
Not really. She was a little adrift from it.
Okay.
So we had gone to Wellington Church.
Yeah.
And we walked in 1 week and we sat there. And as soon as you walk in the doors, I knew that's where I had to be. Not at Wellington Church, but
with God. Yeah.
With God. And my wife dragged me. I had to take classes. Those poor people. I pray for them because I tested them with everything I had.
Well, because you weren't a Christian at this point.
No.
But you went because of Salem.
I went because of Salem. And then I realized I was there because I was really out of line with God's principles. It's funny, when I was in my teens, I had a youth class and I was like Linus in the Christmas play.
Yeah.
I was a long way from Linus.
Okay.
And that's kind of where that happened. And then he found me, God found me and started teaching me about principles of things. Things like, my marriage failed because I want what I wanted. The idols of your heart.
Oh, yeah.
And how those can destroy.
Yeah.
And that God is above everything, not you or your wife or anybody else on this planet. So if it's okay with you guys, can I just read these two little passages?
Yeah. That
I got it from YouVersion Bible and a Bible plan called Thrive, Building Marriages. And the first one says, in thriving marriages, each spouse trusts God to meet their needs without making demands on each other. Your desires and dreams will always matter to God, even when they don't seem to matter to your spouse. Bring them to God and you'll find he gives you the strength and grace to carry on. Not to do your dreams, but to get through those rough times. That was powerful for me reading that because I felt that's what he was doing for me.
Yeah.
The opposite of a contract marriage is a covenant marriage. In a covenant marriage, both husband and wife put the other's needs first. Each both is committed to loving the other unconditionally without demands. That's the kind of love God shows, the kind he is designed to be to fuel for thriving marriages. That is just the total opposite of what I was doing.
So you started to realize this as you were at Willingdon Church with Salem.
Yes. And here, and my journey. So I just begin to search for families to stay together with a Christ-centered focus, right? So my path was I joined theological classes.
Here
I joined,
at Northview? Or where?
Here.
Okay.
And also with ABC, with biblical counseling.
Oh, yeah.
And with Jesse over at the church with his teachings, our pastor at the campus, and Bible studies. And
but I must have missed something. Where did you become a Christian? How did that turn
over?
At
Willingdon.
At Willingdon. What happened that turned you?
So it was initially selfish because I wanted to be a Christian so Salem would marry me.
Okay.
But in that journey, I had to join. She decided that, no, she wants the elders to approve our marriage.
Okay. Mm.
Okay, well, the first time we went and they asked us questions, they said, no, you're not ready. So that was very disappointing.
Okay.
So I got into a class, this poor lady, we get into a class about understanding Jesus. And I ask every question that you could possibly answer. Come on, rose from the dead, really? Virgin birth, all these things.
Yeah.
But she not only helped me with the answers, Pastor John at the time, I was able to go see him.
Yeah.
You know, the guy from Back to the Bible.
Yeah.
So they were open. And I thought, wow, these people, like, they're open about this. And then it just came slowly over time.
Okay.
It wasn't like I didn't have a revelation one day and all of a sudden the light shone and all that kind of stuff. It was more of a warming towards Jesus. Hmm. And then I got baptized.
Oh, interesting. At Willingdon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Hmm. So it sounds like most of the questions that you had that kept you from taking that leap of faith were those scientific, how could this be possible kind of questions. That's what really was kind of keeping you. And then suddenly when it seemed reasonable, but was maybe what took that leap for you?
That and the fact that I was fighting with myself because I still wanted all those things I was doing.
Yeah.
Right? So if I accept this, I have to give all those up.
Right.
Yeah. Really? For some guy I don't even believe in?
Yeah.
No, but you know, that's what you're thinking, totally. Right?
Yeah.
But once you find out it's real and he's there and he showed himself to me, revealed himself so many times in my life when I go back over it. I did a story one time from when I was younger and all the things that happened to you and where God was. It's amazing what he's done for you.
That's neat.
Very cool.
So what did you notice after you became a Christian? How did your life start to change?
It changed because I didn't want to do pornography. Hmm. I didn't want to cheat on my wife. I didn't want to go see movies that portrayed things that were really anti-Christianity.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do those things. I had no desire to go see them. Hmm. And not because you don't get pulled, because you get pulled, but then it comes into your mind, is this really what you should be doing? No. Hmm. And you don't do it. Hmm. It's amazing. I could have never done that before.
Hmm. Right. So that's how you saw heart change. Yeah.
Yeah. I really love the way that you described that, even as you were talking about your marriage and realizing you were doing these things, you thought that you were doing them for the right reasons, and then realizing, looking back, that your decisions, you said, were selfish.
Yeah.
And that was the heart of all these decisions you were making, for me, for me, for me. And then suddenly the shift after coming to Christ is, well, actually, maybe there's some other motivation here. I want something for God, and I want things for him as opposed to for me, which I think just really speaks to such an important part of all of our stories, that that's the magnificent work that God does in us. We tend to just look at it as, well, you know, Rocky cleaned up his life, and that's, praise God for that.
Yeah.
But that's actually not the story. The story is God went into your heart, made it new, and suddenly where you had wanted other things before, you didn't want them anymore.
Yeah.
Because God turned your affections to him. That's great.
And I love the warming. I love the idea of this gradual change, this warming, because I think that's true for a lot of people. Yeah. When I look back over my life, there's a lot of areas where God has warmed me to things that I didn't want before. And sometimes we're looking for that, like, instant moment, like you said, where the angels come down and they sing and the lights shine and there's this magic moment, magic, you know, that's not the right word, but you know what I mean. And, but this warming is a really great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And for so many people, I've had so many conversations with people who lament the fact they don't have that moment.
Yes,
they don't have that moment.
Yeah.
But even for me personally, there's older theologians would sometimes use the language of saying it's as if that there was a light, a soft light that grew warmer and brighter.
Like a dimmer switch where it starts to go brighter
and
brighter.
And you can't look back and find the moment that it turned on. It just was there suddenly. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it just grew and grew and grew. And that's for those of you listening who are thinking, man, I don't have that moment. I don't have that moment. Rocky's testifying this. We're testifying that that's actually quite, it's not abnormal to find that I have an affection for the Lord, but I don't look back and find this, you know, critical conversion moment of panic and crisis. God does it in some magnificent ways that are all different.
Yeah.
Yeah. He really is truly amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Which other pieces do you want to add to your story, Rocky?
I think for me, if you looked at it, like I went through it, Joshua alluded to more of intellectual from learning, but it wasn't to prove it wasn't God. I thought that's what I was doing, but it wasn't. It was to get to know him. That was powerful to me. And I read so many things, you know, all the C.S. Lewis, all these things. I did all of that stuff, you know, even The Case for Christ and all
her Lee Strobel, those are great books. Yeah.
I couldn't get enough. I went from doing no reading to having like a whole office full of books.
Wow. Yeah.
It's just a hoot.
It really is. I agree.
It is.
So it makes sense. Now, when I look back, you and I have probably been connecting over maybe 8 years, let's say, and you said you've been married for 10. So it didn't take long before all of a sudden you were desiring to serve the church.
Yes.
And you approached us. I didn't know that you existed. You came and you said, I want to serve the church. And we started hearing your story back then. And you came to our pre-marriage classes and shared your story, which is very encouraging for pre-marriage people, some of the couples who have been divorced before and are on their second or third marriage. That's also not unusual here at Northview, which might be a surprise to people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or they've been living together. That's also not a surprise. So your story was always very encouraging. And then we used you in a financial way. So talk a little bit about how you started with your financial gifts and why.
Well, you know, I was in banking for 40 plus years, and one of the biggest things that I've seen in banking is marriages fail because of money. Mm. Now, it's not because of money, but appreciate I was a banker.
Yes.
Right. I thought,
right.
That's the trouble. It's money. But it's not. It's their heart desires working through the money.
Yeah, of course.
So I thought, wow, you know, at least I know something about this. So why don't I start by just seeing people who are having financial problems and see if I can help them.
That's why I did it. And you were doing that you still are.
Yeah.
You were doing it on a volunteer basis and you've been meeting with people, individuals and couples for years already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun actually. I got one couple that I've been meeting with for a year and a half and it's amazing. We even get into counseling.
Okay.
And then back the money and different things like that. So it works out really well.
Yeah, I love how you made that connection in your mind there about seeing it and thinking, oh, it's about the money, but actually it's something deeper than money. It's what they want through the money.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised at all that the conversations about money go back and forth to counseling and marriage and money because they're all wrapped up within each other. I think there's kind of this misnomer that it's a money issue and not a person issue.
Yes.
But it's fundamentally, it's a people issue. It's person to person, a relationship. Mm-hmm. And the money is just one particular symptom of it, of how it's actually going to play itself out. That's very cool that was your experience.
So if somebody wanted to connect with you around finances, what kinds of things do you do here at Northview for us?
Well, I've been mostly doing very granular work. And what I mean by that is budgeting.
Okay.
Because 90% of the people that come to see me don't do a budget.
Okay.
So if I say to you, Thalia, how much money do you spend at Starbucks every week?
Right.
Well, I don't know.
Lots of Tim Hortons.
Or Tim Hortons, you know, wherever.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
But then then I get them to track all their expenses for 60 to 90 days. And I tell them, It's only between me and you, but you have to write everything. If you spend 10 cents for candy, I want it on there.
Right.
Everything. And when they bring their budget back, they find the source of their problem 90% of the time.
Okay.
But now it's a heart problem to give that up.
Yes.
Yeah. To move to the next thing.
Yeah.
That's harder.
Yeah, that is harder. And if you want to get connected with Rocky, you can email the care department, care@northview.org. So that's one thing. Now, you've also started doing some different kind of volunteering at our church. You want to talk about marriage mentoring?
Oh, yeah. I love marriage mentoring.
As you can see, Rocky has a few passions.
Well, I like it because I'll tell you, my journey to Family Life Canada started in 2020. And I thought, so I went on their website and I found this mentoring thing. So yeah. I bought the package and my wife and I trained ourselves at home.
Okay.
And then I come in and seen Paul Siemens at the time. I said, Paul, I'm a mentor. How can I get a mentee couple? He goes, what? He says, what are you talking about? So I told him all about this. And he says, wow, that looks like a really good program. So long story short, we got a couple to be mentors with. And that piece that they went through, everything I went through, my wife and I went through with them, is exactly what God has been teaching me about marriage. I thought, this is amazing. You can have a relationship with someone and not be a counselor and just talk to them and walk with them, share your stories, and you get helped and they get helped.
Right.
Where's the downside in that?
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. So that's how I did the.
So that's how you got started. You've done quite a bit since then. What have you done?
So we now are, I am with working actually for Family Life Canada on a, I don't get salary or anything like that, but I work with them and have a membership with them. And it's interesting. I am now going around to different churches.
Okay.
Probably from Langley to Hope.
Yeah.
And I try to introduce our services to those churches to fill in where maybe the church isn't doing something, like maybe marriage mentoring or weekend getaways or parenting conferences, all those kind of things.
So tell us a little bit about if somebody wanted to become a marriage mentor, what does that look like?
Well, here's what it looks like.
And he pulls out the paper. That's good.
Yeah. So I always say, keep in mind, you're not going to be a counselor. We're not expecting for you to take a couple and solve alcoholism, abuse. All that's not within the curfew.
Okay.
This is simply, like Jesus said, walk with people.
Okay.
Right? So if you, first, Family Life themselves, they provide the training and the resources. Your church, if you're going to mentor inside the church at Northview, they want you to be a member of the church, right? And what we do is we just ask you this. Do you have a heart for others? Do you have a desire to listen to people? Do you have a willingness to share your life and your story? And do you have a stable, fulfilling marriage? I don't take that into we're perfect. But what I mean is, do you have good behaviors and how conflict or how to handle disagreements and things like that?
So do people have to be married a certain amount of time?
Well, we like to see them married for 10 years, but they don't have to be.
Joshua, you're not on
deck. Yeah, sorry. It's give me a couple of years.
It's a guideline. It's a guideline, right? So we've got mentors that have been married for 3 years and got a couple of kids. Well, they make great mentors for people that are thinking about having kids.
Yeah.
So you put in 90 minutes a month and we give you the 14 conversations over the year or so to do them.
Okay. So you have been working at developing marriage mentors for Northview.
Yes.
All your own idea. I keep getting emails. What about this couple? What about this couple? Which has been so great. And so how many couples do you have at Northview now that are willing to do the training and possibly pursue this?
We've got 10 couples that are, and about four of them have gone through the training and everything, and the rest of them are at different stages.
Okay.
But 10 so far.
That's amazing.
I know. It is amazing.
Yeah.
I know.
And by and large, I feel like there for some people listening, there's a bit of a barrier of you said a stable and fulfilling marriage. That's kind of the a prerequisite, which makes perfect sense. But as people are thinking about that, I'm sure most people in their marriages are thinking, man, our marriage, like, it's good, but it's not like mentor quality marriage.
Yeah. I know.
But by and large, those people, give us that sense of what should people be reflecting upon their marriage and thinking, okay, we're at the place where we could mentor another couple. Is it that they have to feel super healthy, everything's going well? Or is it just honestly marriages that are plugging along, doing okay, and things are going reasonably well? That's a quality marriage worth being mentored by.
So you don't have major problems in your marriage, like abuse, alcoholism, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And to have a faith base is obviously very important when you're in the Northview, under the Northview piece. And when you get in arguments, like we all get in arguments, sometimes we get mad, we don't talk for 2 days. But at the end of it, we come back and ask for forgiveness and move on.
Yeah.
So if you're doing those kind of things, that's great.
And for couples that are struggling with significant issues, we have counselors in the community that are Christians, that are skilled, that we trust from Northview, and we can refer people to counselors that can do that kind of work.
Yes.
So if you're feeling like you're listening to this and you're like, oh my goodness, we have some problems, well, just contact care department, care@northview.org. Okay, what about a couple maybe who's listening to this and they think, oh, we need a marriage mentor? What about that?
So then they also get a hold of me.
Okay.
And then we do have a little application that we get the mentors and the mentees to do.
Okay.
Fill it out, because it gives you time to reflect on where either your strengths are for a mentor, and your mentee, it gives you time to reflect on where you really want help with.
Okay.
And that helps me when I'm talking to care ministry. Line you up with a mentor that's going to work for you.
Yeah.
And if you and your mentor have a disconnect, you meet two or three times, it's just not working.
Yeah.
Don't feel guilty. Just say it's not working and we'll switch.
Yeah. That's good.
Like, there's no pressure on you to do anything. It's for both sides to be doing healthy things.
Yeah. Wow. This is exciting. Mm-hmm. I think one of the questions comes up is you are serving the church with your gifts, your passion for marriage, your passion for finances, and all of your background, all of your muck is coming into play here, which is incredible. But how do we encourage other Northview people to use their gifts and skills to serve the church? Not everybody's a Rocky. We only need one. We only need one Thalia, one Joshua, one Levi. But we have all these unique people. So how do you think, let's talk a little bit of all of us, how do we encourage people to use their gifts and skills?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing is realizing what Paul says to be true. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, right? He uses the language of talking about the church as a body. And in 1 Corinthians, he says, not a single member of the body can look at another and say, I don't need you. And I think that we got to start there by realizing, okay, if you have been called by God into his family, whatever you have gone through, your life experience, your struggles, your triumphs, all those things, God has shaped you and formed you into the person you are. But more than that, actually, because he has filled you with his Spirit, he has empowered you in a particular way that the rest of the church doesn't have. And so if you don't offer the gifts that you have, you don't use those gifts, we actually lack something, right? Because he says we can't look at a member of the body and say, I don't need you. I actually should look around in the room and say, I do need you in order to be my healthiest. But I think pointing out a couple of things in Rocky's story can be really helpful for us as we're looking back and you're reflecting on your own story. Rocky's job, being a banker, right, was what gave you all of a sudden the tools and the realization you saw these marriages crumbling because of the financial decisions they were making and all that. And that all of a sudden you thought, well, I'm going to use the trade that I have trained for the sake of the church.
Yep.
And so look at your life experience. How has God trained you through your work experience, through whatever you've been a part of? And maybe you can help the church that way. But the other is the significant trials that you went through, right? A few marriages before you came to Salem. And seeing those and the just the pain that you went through and saw that you caused, and these things, looking back and realizing, man, because of the lessons I have learned, God has given me a unique opportunity to speak into someone else's life who may be in a similar situation. So I think sometimes we look back at our lives and simply see the muck, as we use the term, as something to kind of shy away from and, and hide from and put into the past. And I never want to talk about it kind of thing. And we don't we're not celebrating it ever. But God uses even the weaknesses and the failures of our lives to equip us and use us for the good of his church. So, so look at those things. Just a couple things to think about. If you are a member of the body that is needed for the health of the body, what has God trained you for through your work experience? And what has God allowed you to go through in trials and sufferings so that maybe you can come alongside those who are also going through certain things?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really encouraging. I often say to people when they tell me, because of course I meet with people in a pastoral counseling session and they tell me the difficult things they've gone through, the muck of their past. And I say that actually makes you more valuable in the church. And I often will try to connect people who've walked similar journeys with each other so that they can feel like they're normal, like, oh, somebody else has experienced that. Somebody else understands where I'm at. And that's incredibly powerful in our church. So a lot of people are using their gifts and skills in a very quiet way, simply by sharing their story with others and connecting over coffee or for a walk or something like that. That is a very valid way too. Or you may want to pray for people if that's something that God has given you a passion for. What else?
You know, it's really interesting when you two are talking. I was thinking about family life in this one piece. And my boss at work, he said, you know, this is a really interesting story. I go, what's that? He said, you know, family life started. I go, no. He said, it started in 1988 with a couple in Edmonton that said, we should do something about the marriages. Imagine just a couple. The next thing you know, they're a member of the Power to Change group, and they've been doing this for 30 years.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Small beginnings.
Yeah, small beginnings.
And I think a piece to that example is looking at something that suddenly captured their attention as critically important for the health of human beings, the health of Christians, the health of churches. Like marriage, I think, is a great example of this, that you looked and saw, man, the pain that I went through and was a part of. And now with your marriage with Salam, the joy that can be involved and the health that can be involved, suddenly seeing, wow, there's something so magnificent here that people are missing out on. And maybe, just maybe, there's a way I can help them find it. And so maybe for all of us, I think there's a certain way in which God will open our eyes to something in the church, some need, some particular struggle that's going on around us, even if maybe we haven't even been a part of it sometimes, and think that that is a burden that's just weighing on my heart. What can I do? One small thing. And let the Lord be faithful to do what he will with it. And maybe, just maybe, 30 years of family life ministry comes out of it. Or maybe it's one story of somebody receiving the love of Christ, even if they don't even believe in him later. But you have shown them the love of Jesus through something that you decided to do because you saw something that was lacking and felt a burden for it to be better. And I think, go looking for those things.
Yeah, you are very welcome to talk to a pastor. Like, we are around all of the campuses. We're around on the weekends. You can just say, hey, can I make a meeting with you? Can I send you an email? Can we set up a time to talk? And I have this way that I think I would like to serve the church, or I'd like to explore how I could serve the church. Because sometimes we don't know.
Yeah, totally. And I think probably one of the most significant barriers that people feel is, I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. I don't think I can make a big enough difference. So I'll just, you know, I'll leave it to the people who can.
Yeah.
And, you know, and by that, we generally mean the pastors or, you know, the ministry leaders. But that's just not what the Bible teaches us about people, about the people of God. Yes, there are teachers and pastors called and equipped in particular ways. But because God calls us into a certain kind of ministry, it means that we don't have other gifts and we don't have other opportunities.
Yeah.
We're not in a workplace 9 to 5, you know, rubbing shoulders with people who don't know Jesus and are struggling in other ways. We don't have that experience. And so we lack in other ways, which we desperately need the help of the church to be as healthy as we can. To step up in the ways that they can. by the power of the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
So don't think that because you're not a pastor or because you're not called into some significant kind of ministry that, well, you're just not going to be useful.
Yeah.
No, your usefulness is dependent upon the usefulness of God.
Yes.
And how useful, not that we want to necessarily think of God in terms of usefulness, but how powerful is God mm-hmm. to use you?
Yeah, right. It's a privilege it to is. Be used by God, actually. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like the scriptures are going to say things like when we're operating out of places of weakness is in fact when we are at our strongest.
Yeah.
Because it's not, we have no illusions of self-sufficiency and power of our own and instead are forced to be all the more reliant upon God to do what God always intends to do.
Yeah.
So it's like it's the best place to be serving out of when we recognize the lowliness that we offer and the exaltedness of what God brings.
That's great.
It's true. That is a great wrap-up comment. Anything else you want to say, Rocky, as we're wrapping up this podcast?
I just want to say that Northview, this campus, all of it, the main campus through all the, have been nothing but open for me. Mm-hmm. So if anybody has a gift that you just even want to come talk to them about, they're ready to listen to you. You don't have to worry about going through roadblocks. It's not about that. Well, some people, churches have that, but this one does not.
Mm. Yeah.
So thank you.
You're welcome. We're You're welcome. Thankful thank you, to Rocky. Have you, and thank you for coming today to the podcast. Okay, we'll see you next time, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe to catch all of our upcoming episodes. Join us next time as we discuss some more sticky questions.